Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I am Tom, and today is our Discovery Unit. And, of course, that means we're talking about a TV show, which you can see on the Discovery Channel, Discover Your World. And what we are doing today is tasting the world with Len and Ainsley.
I actually know who this Len Goodman is.
You do?
Yeah, he was a judge. He still is a judge on the American version of the British show called Strictly Come Dancing. It's called Dancing with the Stars. And he was one of the judges. He's crazy. I can't believe he's 72. Wow, he looks like he's about 60, maybe. Wow, he's funny. Anyway, we're going to be talking about a show that he and his friend Ainsley, I don't know who Ainsley is, I don't think, actually host. Very fun. It's called Len and Ainsley's Big Food Adventure.
Well, this is kind of unrelated, but when I see the word Len, it reminds me of an old Canadian band called Len, and they were a one-hit wonder with a song called Steal My Sunshine.
Never heard of them.
Which came out in the 90s. Actually, it's a kind of a fun song, but in any case, that's unrelated, but it does have something to do with the name Len. It's not a name you see too often, but Len and Ainsley are tasting the world. This does not mean they are getting down on their hands and knees and sticking out their tongues and licking the ground.
Eating dirt?
To see what the world tastes like, the world at our feet. Actually, they're just traveling to different parts of the world to taste different kinds of food. Actually, I think they're doing a lot of that in England itself because lots of different kinds of ethnic groups and international communities have set up their communities in England there. So
a lot of immigrants in England now.
You betcha. Yeah. And, of course, it's a great place to be if you like to try and sample different kinds of food from different parts of the world. So let's do that today, everybody. Let's taste the world with Len and Ainsley. We're going to read today's lesson right now.
Dreams of fish and chips and hearty English breakfasts dance through Len Goodman's head. As he starts salivating, he wonders where he might find a proper steak and chips with fried onions for dinner. Unfortunately for Len, his good friend Ainsley Harriet, who happens to be a chef, has something a little different in store for him. Chinese food. Ainsley has a difficult task ahead, as convincing Len there's more to meals than traditional British pub fare will be no easy feat. As a judge on BBC One's Strictly Come Dancing, 72-year-old Len has had the opportunity to travel the world. In spite of his global excursions, Len's palate has remained firmly fixed on the dishes his grandma used to make for him. Ainsley's mission is to educate Len about the different ethnic cuisines that can be found in Britain's largest cities. That's why, this January on TLC's Len and Ainsley's Big Food Adventure, Ainsley and Len are taking a culinary road trip on which they'll discover all the distinctive flavors the multicultural nation has to offer. Once their custom street food van is packed up and ready to go, Len and Ainsley are off to Manchester, which is home to one of the largest Chinese communities in the country. First up on the menu is dim sum, including steamed dumplings stuffed with prawns and bamboo, and chicken feet cooked in black bean sauce. Ainsley is surprised at how well Len takes to the dumplings, especially when he goes back for another serving. When it comes to the chicken feet, though, Len's holding fast to his rejection. Ainsley is quick to admit that chicken feed on the first leg of their trip might have been pushing it.
Okay, everybody, let's go back to the very top of the article for today. Again, as January rolls along, we are going to be tasting the world with Len and Ainsley. Again, they are in the UK, the United Kingdom, And if you're there, you might have dreams of fish and chips and also of hearty English breakfasts. They will dance through your head, or in this case, they are dancing through Len Goodman's head. So, of course, if you think about England, a very common kind of dish there is fish and chips. It's kind of like the English version of Americans' hamburgers or fried rice here in Taiwan or sushi in Japan or something. So this is kind of a national dish. This year, fish and chips. Also, you might have a hearty English breakfast. I'm not sure what would comprise an English breakfast, but if it's hearty, that means it's very cheerful and it makes you feel very good.
Yeah,
it makes you feel
a lot of food.
A lot of food, warm. And you feel full, and it's actually a pleasure to eat it.
Oh, yeah. That sounds really good. Now, it says he starts salivating. To salivate means you look at food or you smell food and suddenly you get that water in your mouth, the okoshe, and it's so fun and you're just so excited to eat something tasty. So he starts salivating as he wonders where he might find a proper steak and chips with fried onions for dinner. That sounds like a completely British meal there. Doesn't sound very American. Proper is a word that the British like to use a lot just to talk about just exactly right. Proper.
Proper, right. Something prepared properly and not just from some cheap little diner at the side of the street or something. Yeah, where can I get a proper meal of steak and chips with some fried onions? That also sounds very tasty. Well, unfortunately for Len, his good friend Ainsley Harriet, who happens to be a chef, has something a little different in store for him, Chinese food. So he's thinking about his own homegrown food, maybe food that he's used to when growing up, and so he wants some fish and chips or steak and chips, but his friend Ainsley Harriet, she happens to be a chef. Happens to be just means it's kind of a coincidence. Gee, I wish I knew where there was a good restaurant. Well, I just happen to know that there's a good restaurant across the street. So she happens to be a chef, and she thinks, well, yeah, steak and chips is good, but we're going to have the world's best food, Chinese food.
Yeah, I can use happens to in another example. For example, we use it sometimes when we bump into somebody or run into somebody. I was out shopping, and I happened to run into Tom. I didn't expect it. We didn't plan it. It just happened. So it's kind of a coincidence, or as my friend likes to say, a coinkydink, kind of a fun way to say coincidence. So she happens to be a chef, and she's got a different plan in mind, a little something different in store for him, and that's Chinese food, which sounds really good. So Ainsley has a difficult task ahead as convincing or talking him into persuading Len that there's more to meals than just traditional British pub fare. Fare here doesn't mean money that you pay when you go on the bus or take the subway. It actually means food. So British love to eat these traditional British meals in their pubs. Usually when we go into a bar, we just drink. But their pubs are actual restaurants with just traditional meals like fish and chips, which are really good. So if you convince somebody, you use a lot of persuasion to talk them into something. And she's trying to talk him into eating or trying something besides just his traditional British food.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that this fella, Len, here is actually over 70. So he might be set in his ways. He might be used to eating British food and British pub fare and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's not really open to trying new things. So that's why she's got quite a difficult task ahead of her.
Yeah.
She needs to convince him or persuade him that, hey, there's more to life. There is more to meals than just that traditional British pub fare with a pint or whatever and the fish and chips or those meat pies or Yorkshire pudding or whatever it is they eat when they go down to the pub. Okay, well, it's no easy feat. I should probably say something about that. Feat here just means an accomplishment, so no easy feat just means it's not going to be easy to do that.
Notice it's not spelled F-E-E-T. It's F-E-A-T. Yeah, like a physical accomplishment in particular. As a judge on BBC One's Strictly Come Dancing, 72-year-old Len has had the opportunity to travel the world. Yeah, he sure has. BBC has different TV channels. Actually, in England, they have ITV, too. It's another channel. But BBC One, BBC Two, BBC Three, BBC Four, they all exist.
They've got the radio shows, too, Radio One, Radio Two, etc.
They do.
So I guess this is some kind of TV show.
It's a dancing show.
Yep, Strictly Come Dancing.
Very fun. Partner dancing, like ballroom dancing. Like I said, this was the original show, and then the U.S. came up with their version called Dance with the Stars, which is also very popular, and they invited Len to come be a judge in the U.S., but he's had a great time being a judge on this show, and he's had the opportunity to travel the world. An opportunity is a chance to get to do something, so that's pretty fun.
Mm, that's right, but again, he's still kind of stuck in his ways, and he still likes that British pub fare, but in spite of his global excursions, Len's palate has remained firmly fixed on the dishes his grandma used to make for him. I think we can all plead guilty to this, because we kind of get used to the food that our parents cook for us, especially our mothers and our grandparents and stuff like that. So, yes, even though he's traveled the globe, global means having to do with the world. Global warming, for example, is a term that uses this as an adjective. An excursion just means a trip, basically somewhere, a short journey usually, but this fella has traveled all over the world. And if you're talking about your palate, well, technically, that's the top of your mouth, but here in this particular usage, it just means your appreciation of different kinds of food and taste and flavor and stuff like that. You have a very sophisticated palate, you could say. In other words, you like all kinds of food, but he's got kind of a limited palate. It's fixed on the dishes his grandma used to make for him when he was a little boy.
I totally understand that. I feel the same way. I kind of get used to my own dishes that I like, and I don't always like to try new food. Right now, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to continue talking about Len and Ainsley.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们看的是第13单元。 好, 我们要介绍给大家一个节目。 这个节目在TLC频道上面, 它叫做美食通大冒险。 当然,这是它中文的名称。 它的英文名称叫什么呢? 它叫 Len and Ainsley's Big Food Adventure。 好, 这里的标题就告诉你, 这两位主持人, 一个是Len, 另外一个是Ainsley, 带你去尝试不同的食物。 开头他就说这个人物呢是Lane， 也就是其中的主持人之一。他脑袋瓜里面呢在编一个梦想，吃的是炸鱼薯条还有英式早餐。不过这句话呢写得很美，因为他提到这个梦想是 dance through Lane Goodman's head， 他用 dance， 在他脑袋里头飞舞。那因为呢，他其实当然是热爱英国食物，而且有趣的就是说，他有一个好朋友，这个好朋友就是另外一个主持人 Ainsley，Ainsley 是一个chef，他是一个厨师，他想要呢，准备不一样的东西让 Lane 来尝试。 其实除了英国美食，还有其他各种不同的美食，他应该去试试看。好，这边内容里头还提到说，要说服Lane去吃别的东西呀，这可是一件很难的任务呢。为什么？看到第一段的后面这句 ，as convincing Lane's， as 就代表因为说你要。 Convincing Len, there's more to meals than traditional British pub fare. 好, there's more to 这个片语，它的意思就是还有什么？那比起这种传统的，不仅只有传统的英式美食，其实还有别的美食，他应该要试试看哦。可是这个对Len可不是那么容易接受。下面就要看他们怎么开始这个大冒险。 好 ，Len 呢？他其实环游过全世界，当然也吃过各种食物。不过他最喜欢的还是他的祖母过去为他经常做的菜。好，谈到了过去经常做什么，大家注意到了。 used to. 其实 used to 这个片语我们也常常提，但是往往会跟 be used to 混在一起，要特别注意咯。 used to 这是一个动词片语，而且本身就是过去式，那表示以前怎么样，当然表示现在可能就不是如此咯。 used to 加原动，过去经常。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue to talk about Tasting the World with Len and Ainsley. And again, these are people in England. And of course, we've got Len there. He is a judge on Strictly Come Dancing. And then we've got this master chef by the name of Ainsley Harriet. Well, remember, he kind of is used to eating British food.
Yeah.
Who would blame him? It's a pretty good food. And
some
of course,
it is.
I really don't know, but
some of it's awful.
Some people have told me, yeah, it's kind of hit or miss, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you can find plenty of tasty things.
But their fish and chips are great.
I'm sure they are. Mm. But indeed, he's kind of set in his ways, so the chef needs to convince him to try other things. And her mission is to educate him about the different ethnic cuisines that can be found in Britain's largest cities.
Mm.
Yes, indeed, England is quite a diverse place with people immigrating there from different countries all over the world, and that's what the word ethnic has to do with. Ethnic is usually used together with a group, an ethnic group. In this case, it's being used with cuisine. It just means having to do with some kind of population subgroup, okay? An ethnic group, like ethnic groups in the United States, would include like the Mexican Americans, the Jewish Americans,
Asians,
etc.
Indians.
These are different ethnic groups, although you would not consider Caucasians as an ethnic group because they're usually considered like the mainstream American, but technically they are an ethnic group, but nobody really refers to them like that.
Yeah, I would say if they're the majority population, they're definitely not the ethnic group.
They're just kind of neutral, regular people.
I guess we're
there.
Boring. I don't know.
Whitewash, rinso, white people, but in a case here, we've got these different ethnic cuisines, different kinds of food from different cultural groups. In the big cities in England, like, of course, London and Manchester, Leeds, Birmingham, etc. And I think we're actually going to Manchester later in today's program.
We are. Yeah. So that's why this January is coming up. We're in January right now, guys. TLC, the Travel Living Channel, is going to have a program called Len and Ainsley's Big Food Adventure. Sounds really fun. These two are going to take a culinary road trip on which they'll discover all the distinctive flavors the multicultural nation has to offer. So they're going to have a good time. I would love to go on this road trip. Although I'm sure Len's going to have to eat some food that he's a little unfamiliar with. He might be a little scared. Culinary here is an adjective, guys. It just means having to do with cooking. So culinary skills. I can't wait to try these culinary delights. You'll often see it like that. It just means related to food. And if something's distinctive, it's unique. It's not normal. It's not ordinary. It's got its own characteristics that are very different from other things. So you won't mistake it if you see it. I have a friend who has a distinctive laugh. When you hear that laugh, you know it's definitely her. It's not anybody else because it's so weird.
Are you talking about yourself? Because
no.
Your laugh is kind of... That's kind of your distinctive laugh.
I have a different laugh, really?
Whenever I hear you coming from blocks away, I know it's you because you have a very... That's it. That's a very distinctive laugh that no one else has. But, yeah,
it's
I could say, for example,
unique.
That it's unique, special, I'm thinking about, like, say, some of the local cuisines here in Taiwan. We all like Neo Romian, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, I know a place in Ximending, you know, that has a very distinctive flavor. It's good, but... but it's also a very special flavor that you're not going to find anyplace else. The flavor is very distinctive.
Or that that powder that they put on the paigu when they cook it. You know, they sprinkle this powder that no other country sells. I've never had that scent, that smell anywhere else. So that's distinctive, something that's unique to the place or the person. Let's go on to the next paragraph. It talks about once their custom street food van is packed up and ready to go, they're off to the city of Manchester, which is home to one of the largest Chinese communities in the country. Usually there are ethnic groups that kind of group together. They want to live in the same neighborhood because, you know, sometimes they'll have grocery stores that'll sell their kind of food that's imported, kind of fun. I know in my city where I grew up, Mesa, there's a little part of Mesa, Arizona that has a Taiwanese ethnic group. Hmm. And it's fun. Now that I know they're there, I can go and buy some things in their little grocery store. So they've got the food van. It says it's a custom street food van. You've seen these food vans that are getting really popular, I'm sure, on TV. I haven't seen any in Taiwan yet. Have you, Tom?
Somebody posted something on Facebook last week about a food van showing up in the Eastern District of Taipei here. So maybe it's going to catch on. But evidently, these food trucks or food vans
are very popular in the States.
Yeah, they're all the rage, I understand. So people come out of their offices at noontime
and
they look for these places and they serve all sorts of stuff. I hear that Austin, Texas is a great place for that. They've got great food trucks
California,
there.
California,
indeed. But I did want to deal with this word community here.
Okay.
We've got a big Chinese community, and they don't necessarily live in the same area. They might just be living all throughout the city, but they are related.
Located there, yeah.
Yeah, they all kind of have that in common, so you could say that that is the Chinese community in Manchester, England.
Mm-hmm.
And first up on the menu is dim sum, which, of course, is Cantonese for Dianxin in Mandarin.
Yeah.
And this includes steamed dumplings stuffed with prawns and bamboo and chicken feet cooked in black bean sauce. Prawns are kind of like big shrimps, right?
Yeah, that's what I say, big shrimp. So those are delicious. And you've got the chicken feet, which are very scary to foreigners. Like when I first saw them, I thought, oh my gosh, you want me to put that foot in my mouth? No.
Kind of weird, but
hey,
we're eating chicken legs and chicken heads and chicken feathers.
Yeah, we're just not used to it, right?
We might as well have the feet, but yeah, we're we're not quite used to it yet. But these are some of the ingredients that you will find in steamed dumplings. And Ainsley, again, she's the chef. She is surprised at how well Len takes to the dumplings, especially when he goes back for another serving. We could also say he's going back for seconds.
That's right.
Another serving. He likes the serving that he had. A serving, of course, is a portion of food that you have. And sometimes the servings are small, sometimes they're big. I've heard that people say that, wow, the servings in American restaurants are huge. No wonder they are so overweight.
Yeah, the serving sizes are really big. I've noticed the serving sizes here are much smaller. So you can have a one serving, two servings, three servings. If you're a boy, especially a teenage boy, you want to eat a lot. If you take to something, guys, it means you start to really like it. You can take to food. You can take to a friend. You can take to an animal. Or if you get a new pet, maybe he really is shy at first and then he starts to like you. He's taking to you. Oh, he's taken to you. Oh, that's nice. So he feels good, is familiar, likes you. So Len takes to the dumplings. He likes them. And he goes back for another serving. When it comes to the chicken feet, though, woo, watch out. Scary stuff. He's holding fast to his rejection. If you hold fast to something, guys, you don't let go. And he's rejected or refused to eat the chicken feet.
Right. They offered him some chicken feet. Would you like some chicken feet? He said, well,
no
thanks,
way.
But no thanks. You could also say, sorry, pass. I'm not going to have those. That's a little unusual. So that is his rejection, which is when you say no. Rejection. Lots of guys are afraid to ask girls out on a date because they're afraid of rejection. And the last sentence in our article says, Ainsley is quick to admit that chicken feet on the first leg of their trip might have been pushing it. So she admits this. Yeah, it was easy enough to get him to eat dim sum, but I was pushing it when I tried to get him to eat the chicken feet. That was going too far.
Going too far. If you push it, it means you're putting too much pressure on somebody, or maybe even yourself. I was running the other day, and I really was pushing it when I tried to go 6 miles instead of just two.
Ooh, and you were probably very sore the next day as a result.
Yeah. Okay, guys, one more time. We're going to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll wrap up.
好，我们继续来看这篇文章。这两位主持人 Lan 跟 Ansley， Ansley 他做什么呢？他当然就是要教育 Lan， 告诉他有不同的 ethnic cuisines。注意到 ethnic 代表民族的。各种民族的美食，哎，首先他们要试什么呢？哦，他们当然要进行一趟公路之旅。这个公路之旅哦，看到后面这边句构上有一点点比较特殊的，就是他们提到这个 road trip， 然后逗点后面看到了 on which they will discover all the distinctive flavors. 好，看到这边的 on， 我们晓得介系词的 on， 它接着一个关系代名词的时候，就要思考一下为什么需要这个介系词。其实，因为这边的关代 which 指的就是前面说的 road trip， 这个公路旅行。那在这趟公路旅行里面，所以你本来后面这个子句，关系子句里头就有一个 on 的介系词，表示 they will discover all the distinct flavors on this trip。所以你把介系词移到了关代 which 之前，就变成现在你看到的这样的结构。下面呢，他们要进行旅行，首先要看到他们有一辆定制的街头餐车。这个 custom 放在 street food van 之前是特制的。哎，坐着这辆车，他们呢决定到 Manchester。 英国这个 Manchester 这个城市有很多的华人，所以我们晓得他第一站想要尝试的食物其实是中国的美食。好，那他们到这家店里面吃他的 dim sum， 我们知道 dim sum 是广式点心。那在这里吃的，哎，有很好吃的 chicken feet， 对我们来说了哦， chicken feet 是鸡的脚，哎，那这边的 chicken feet 后面说到 cooked in black bean sauce。好，首先呢，就这个食物来看，这是用黑骨汁去熬煮的鸡脚。这个 cooked 是过去分词哦，因为你要修饰说这个 feet 是怎么煮，它是被煮的，被怎么熬煮的，所以基本上这里有个分词的结构，你用被动的过去分词来表示有一个被动的含义。好，除了这一点之外，我们要回到食物本身。这个食物呢，对于 Lan 来说可能就有点难以接受了。不过Ansley 他比较惊讶的是说，诶， Lane 他竟然喜欢吃饺子。好， take two 就代表喜欢，但是呢啊，另外有一点是刚刚说到的 chicken feet， 他说 when it comes to the chicken feet， 注意到这个片语，其实这也不算片语，应该是说这个结构上这个是一个子句哦，但是我们常把它当片语来看了。When it comes to 就表示一提到一说到，那有一点就是这个 to 它可是一个介系词的 to， 所以你后面应该要接的是名词。 OK， 我们今天的解释到这边结束，我们下一次见。
That's it for today, everybody. Thank you for joining us. But if you want to talk some more about food, and I'm sure you do, then please join us again next time for another edition of Tasting the World with Lan and Ainsley. Thank you for joining us, and please join us again next time. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.